Support for Tech News Briefing comes from Optum. For those who won't rest until the world is healthier, neither will Optum. At Optum, they're tackling the biggest challenges in healthcare by providing innovative, data-driven solutions that help improve outcomes for patients, providers, and everything in between. Optum, how well gets done. Learn more at Optum.com.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome, I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Do you ever get nostalgic for your Motorola Razr? The ghosts of cell phone past are back. The new ultra-cheap flip phone experience even iPhone users will crave. But first, these tech headlines. More than 100 million people globally are now paying for Amazon Prime, a sign of how Amazon.com has used the service to evolve from an online marketplace that struggled with profitability into an e-commerce powerhouse. Launched 13 years ago, the $99 a year Prime service gives customers free, unlimited two-day shipping, access to free music and videos, and other perks. Facebook plans to build its own chips as part of a hardware push. The plan is to design chips that could be used in its consumer devices, AI software, and data centers. Still in its early stages, the project could give Facebook greater control over the design and development of its various hardware projects underway, which include connected speakers and virtual reality headsets. And why tech titans are betting on India. In 14 charts, the Wall Street Journal features how the world's largest internet companies are betting big on the nation of 1.3 billion. Amazon is spending $5 billion to attract Indian customers. Facebook's WhatsApp, with more users there than in any other country, has chosen India for its first ever mobile payment system. And Uber has hundreds of thousands of drivers and provides millions of rides a day in India. Read more at WSJ.com. Coming up, flip phones and candy bars are back. How old school meets modern convenience. It's a thing. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. Flip phones and candy bars are back. They are low priced, like really low, have a very long battery life, and even some of the new modern conveniences. When did this happen, and can you teach an old phone new tricks? Let's get more. Personal tech columnist David Pierce joins us from San Francisco right now. Hey.
Hi. Thanks for having me back.
For this piece, you were able to get a $15 Motorola Razr phone. I remember my pink one well. And the guy couldn't believe you wanted it. But there's a reason. You write about how there is a new breed of flip phones and candy bar phones.
Yeah, the first reason is I just missed having a Motorola Razr and really wanted a business excuse to have one around. But I think the bigger point here is that the world of feature phones, which is sort of this term I hate that describes the candy bars and the flip phones and basically all of the things with number keys instead of touchscreens, is coming back and in a really big way. And there are 1.3 billion people in the world who use feature phones. And that number is about to go way up as people in countries like India and Indonesia and Brazil come online. And a lot of those people can't afford a $1,000 iPhone or a $600 smartphone. And they really can't afford the data plan that comes along with them. So there's this new kind of device that's more than just phone calls and text messages, because people in modern society need more than those things, but less than kind of the full everything smartphone we've come to expect from more expensive devices. And I think that middle ground is about to get really, really interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting to learn about because it's the new way these phones are used in this old meets new hybrid experience. If someone is so inclined to maybe go this route, what's out there? What can they consider?
So there are a bunch of devices out there right now, but the sort of frustrating answer is the best thing to do is wait, because this stuff is just now starting to get really good. And I think over the course of this year is about to really blow up. And the big device that a lot of people are excited about that's actually coming in the next few weeks is the Nokia 8110. It's a remake of the cool slider phone from like 12 years ago.
Okay.
It's the one that Neo uses in The Matrix. He like pulls it out of an envelope and slides it open. And like, I remember so deeply wanting that phone. But so now this phone still slides, it still has a pretty small screen, still has a number pad, but now it has Google Maps and it has Google Assistant, so you can do a lot of the voice control stuff that we've become used to. It has much faster internet, it has a better web browser, it has messaging, and it has Facebook. So it's big steps in the direction of sort of how do you, what do you need from a phone? What is it supposed to do for you? And trying to square that middle. And that thing, it's less than $100. Its battery lasts up to, I think, it's like 4 weeks. It's essentially unbreakable. It's all of the things you want in a phone, except for all of the distracting crap that none of us want anyway. And yeah. I think there's going to be a lot more phones like that over the next couple of years. And I'm really excited about them.
I imagine you miss those apps you take for granted on a smartphone, though. And that must become clear really fast. Is this, is this scenario possible for most, do you think?
Yeah, it's an interesting transition phase, trying to get away from your smartphone for a little while. And I think people have done studies on sort of what happens when you pry someone away from a smartphone that they're used to. And it's painful. Like we are addicted to our smartphones mm-hmm. in really real physiological ways. And for me, it's taken time. But I think the reality is for a lot of people, these sorts of phones are most interesting to people who can't afford or don't want smartphones. There's this big segment of people who just don't have $1,000 to spend on a phone. And there's a big segment of people who just don't want to. There are a lot of people who have feature phones and have absolutely no plans on upgrading to a smartphone. And I think that's fine. And it's good that that market is being addressed in a more interesting sort of tech forward way. But for someone like me, there's this market that all these companies are trying to go after that I'm still not completely convinced exists, which is like people who want a smartphone most of the time or some of the time, but then other times want to be on a date or at a movie or walking the dog or I don't know, whatever, in the wilderness and not have to worry about the dinging and sort of the addictive suck of your phone and right. to have something a little lighter and a little simpler. And I have felt that in using some of these phones, just being able to, even for a few hours, get away and know that I'm reachable if necessary. Like I think the biggest thing people fear in giving up their phones is like, well, what if somebody needs me? And the reality is nobody ever does. But if they do, you're still connected to some extent. And that feels really good. And I think that mix for me at least has been really interesting. And I'm happy to buy a $50 device. It lets me be more focused when I want to be more focused. That seems like a big win.
Yeah, a less addictive constant companion might be, a welcome experience for some. But there's something to be said about hanging up, using that flip phone to just hang up the phone.
It feels so good. I just forgot how nice it is to just angrily close the phone. It just feels amazing.
That really, that brought me back. David's pieces are very visual, so I encourage listeners to check them out at whj.com/tech. David, thanks as always.
Thank you.
That's it for this edition of the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. Reporting from the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.